There are so many questions by society and Christians that are answered from the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis gives us a lot of answers. Science gives us a tremendous amount of answers if you interpret it correctly. Real science is fact. Real archaeology is fact. Real biological study is a fact. Okay? Now, creation or evolution, that's the title of these messages that I'm doing right now. God takes a fallen universe that's been destroyed, and he restores it so that he can redeem it. All right? We discovered that from Genesis 1 and 1. The earth was created perfect. Many other places we backed it up in Scripture. Then we find Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 2, where is my Hebrew Bible? By the way, here is one of the best Hebrew text. It is the Leningrad text with all of the apparatus down below it. The apparatus tells you the history of the text and all the different readings. And this is on Genesis 1 and 1. Okay? Let me read this to you very quickly. Barashith bara Elohim et hashemayim we et ha'aretz. We ha'aretz hatya tohu vavohu. We hoshuk el panei tohom. We ruah Elohim meripacheth el panei hamayim. That's Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2. Did I do all right, brother, for the biblical Hebrew? You want me to do it in modern Hebrew?
Tov me'yod.
Yeah. All right. Now, what it says here that God created. Now, you can't argue with the grammar, can you? Brother Roger, can you argue with the grammar? What's perfect tense mean?
It happened.
It's done. The first two verbs in the Bible are in perfect tense. One of them is bara, and the other one is hatya. Third person masculine singular, cal perfect. Third person feminine singular, cal perfect. Hatya. Okay? God had created the heavens and the earth, and the earth, she had become formless and void. As simple as that. So there's destruction there. Now, this is before Adam was ever made. Now, we're going to get into Adam tonight, I think. We're going to get into Adam. Now, we have a destroyed universe that was under the caretakership of whom? Hillel. All right? So, God restores it and makes it a life-giving organism. Now, I'm going to read you a couple of different things. Now, here is the Jewish Publication Society. Now, this is not a translation of the Bible. This is an interpretation of the Bible. When God began to create heaven and earth, right there, he's got lots of problems already, doesn't he? All right? When God had created heavens and the earth, being unformed and void with darkness over the surface of the deeps and a wind from God sweeping over the water. Now that is tremendous grammatical violence to those two verses, isn't it? That's not. But that's what they believed. Because they, remember, we read about the Babylonian idea of creation. Remember the Babylonian idea of creation? Do you remember when I told you about the different gods were fighting and they destroyed the earth? It's got a semblance of truth in it, yes. There was violence. And the original creation had no violence in it. But then it became a violent form. A violent forms of life were on this earth. How long it remained in that destroyed, don't know, because it doesn't say. How long did it remain in pristine beauty? We don't know that either. See, this is way back there in eternity past. This is way back yonder, okay? Now, I'm going to read a couple of little things to you and comment on them. before we go too far in here. I have the Greek Septuagint there, which was a translated 300 B.C., and the Jews believed what they put here in that Bible, 300 B.C., because they were already from where? Where did that, had they come from? The Babylonian captivity. The Babylonian Talmud was already in existence. All of this, commentaries, everything else was already in existence. Okay? Insanity and disease. Insanity and disease. If it's a biological or a virus, what we call bacteria. Bacteria is life, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a fallen, mutated form of organism. All disease is from a fallen, mutated form of organism. Viruses, they were life. They are fallen life forms. And they are parasites, aren't they? All of these fallen parasites and life forms we have, as the human race got worse and worse, more and more disease would come forth. The Anopheles quadrimaculatus, that is what, brother?
Malarious.
It's the mosquito that carries malaria. The mosquito doesn't carry malaria, does it?
No.
It is the parasite in the mosquito, in his gut, that he injects into you, and then that different forms of that malaria go into your bloodstream, and then we have what we call these Thracian sweats and fevers and so on and so forth that are a result of it. These are fallen, mutated life forms of satanic invention. Okay? Physical possession. Your body is what? And I keep pushing this, and I want you to understand this one of these days. Your body is triune. God is triune. Okay? You don't have three persons in you, but you have three parts in you. Okay? They make up one unity, and that's the human body. It's mind, it is spirit, and it is material, which is form. Your spirit and your soul, which contains your mind and your personality, never goes out of existence from the very time you were conceived. It will never go out of existence. Your body begins the process of dying, and it becomes a victim of parasitical diseases from the time you're born. Some children don't live a year. Mortality rate, you know. That's what, in different countries, it's worse. In recent years, now you have to realize this is written in the early 1900s. Okay? In recent years, we have proven that germ theory of disease, this is on page 85 in Christ and Creation by Dr. J. Lewis Guthrie. We have also proved that disease germs and all germs are bacterial life forms that have taken up parasitical living and existence, and mine in parenthesis, in the human body, in animals. Animals, the whole creation is affected by this fallen order. God restored the heavens and the earth. God cannot destroy anything that he has made without trying to restore it, except for angels and spirits, okay? Because they are not material. He cannot destroy any life or material form that he's created unless he redeems it first. The whole story from the book of Genesis, this way to eternity future and the creation of a new heaven and new earth, is a story of redemption. Now God, it is a story of redemption. Genesis 1 and 2 begins the story of redemption. When Ruah Elohim, what did I just say? Ruah Elohim. Spirit God. Not a wind from God. Please don't say a wind from God. It's Spirit God. Spirit God mourned over, suffered over, wept over his destroyed creation. Did you ever create something that you destroyed, that was destroyed, and you just cried? That you spent so much time, a painter, you know, an artist, that something happens to it one time? I had one of my friends one time. I've been fooling with antennas and radio since I was born almost. And I had gotten a receiver. I was only about 7 years old. I'd gotten the parts for a receiver, built this little crystal receiver and everything else. And I didn't really understand a lot about antennas, but I had made this grid of antennas. And I had silver solder, and I had this great grid here, and I put all of this copper wire on it, and I wrapped this copper wire around everyone, and I mean there were hundreds of connections in this to gather these signals. You know, I could just see this is no signals going to get by my antenna. I'm going to gather them all up. And I'm going to hook it up to my radio so I can hear better. You know, so I had built this antenna, and I had this friend of mine. It was all my friend all of my life. But he was so ornery at times. He come by and he said, "Jimmy, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm building an antenna. Can I see it?" And all of these tiny wires are on there. He said, "Wow." Run his hand and just broke all of my wires, just broke them all up like that. Boy, I was mad. I had a big piece of lead. I sling it at him. And I mean, it missed his head. It's about a 5-pound piece of lead. It barely missed his head. And off he went. It really hurt me because I had spent hours doing this. Then I had to go recreate it again. And I, after he left, I cried. Because I saw something that was this perfect and that now it was destroyed. Now how am I going to clean it all up and start all over again? Okay. We have also proved that disease germs, all germs, are bacterial life that have taken up parasitical living and existence. They are depraved bacteria. Bacteria is what? Life forms. They're depraved. What is cancer? It's a depraved life form that's trying to kill its host. That's pretty stupid. But isn't that what the Lord made a perfect creation, and then Satan destroyed his creation because he was so angry? And all these bacterial and viral life forms are all attacking you. But God is working through you to redeem his universe back. Do you know that?
So I shouldn't kill a mosquito when it bites me. I love you too.
They are depraved bacteria, physical organisms preying on life contrary to their natural existence. Most disease germs are ferment bacteria, if not all of them, depraved in life action and thereby obeying the law of sin and evil. This startling conclusion makes us sure of the fact that physical possession of evil and demonic influence, Satan wants to influence us by demonic spirit powers. He wants to destroy you in every way. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. He wants you to bring him right down to his form. This is not superstition. It is plain scientific fact. Demons and evil do possess material life. Demons and evil do possess material life. Do they? Does a disease possess material life?
Yes.
Go out, you got to be watch what you eat and drink. I went over there in Syria, and I was in Syria 9 days. You drink the water over there and your stomach will go like a washing machine. Oh, terrible. Terrible.
Even when you're vaccinated, it can do that.
Yeah. 123, Genesis 123. Now, let's look at that and remember what I've taught you so far. I'm going to try to keep this class down to 60 minutes, but I don't know whether that's possible or not. Why he? Erev. Why he Voker. Yom Chamishi. All right. And he became evening. Now, do you realize that the day always begins in the evening? Let's talk about day. They're having a great squabble right now in theological circles, did you know, over when the day begins. Did you know, how many of you knew that? Anybody know that? Am I the only one that knows this? And theological circles are having a real big argument today is when a day begins. When does a solar calendar that we live by, when does the day begin?
Evening. First, when the sun sets.
No.
The solar calendar?
I'm talking about solar calendar. When does your day begin on solar calendar, Roger?
Sunrise?
No.
Midnight.
Midnight. Young lady, you got A+. A plus. It begins in the middle of the night. Midnight is what? Midnight. Midnight. Now, that's when our day begins, isn't it? Meaning, what day of the week is this? I mean, what day of the month? Is this the 22nd? Mm-hmm. Okay, the 22nd. The 23rd will begin when? 12:01 a.m. No argument about that? Now, according to the Jewish solar calendar, not solar calendar, but lunar calendar, when does the day begin?
When you can see three stars.
Yeah. But it actually begins at 6 p.m. That's what they do. That's 6 p.m. in the evening. So the Jewish people, they begin by eating dinner and going to bed. That's how they start their day. We start our day when we're supposed to be asleep, unless you're working in an oil patch. That may be in the middle of your work day. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's messed up too, isn't it? God gave us night for sleeping. He gave us night for sleeping, not fooling around. Evil works at night. And oil field workers.
And farmers.
Yeah. Oh. And became evening. And became morning. Yom Chamishi. Fifth day. Chamishi. Yom Chamishi. The fifth day. So when does the day begin, according to the Hebrew Bible?
When the sun sets.
Huh?
When the sun sets.
Basically at 6 p.m. Okay. If you work it out all year long, you know, at sun time, that's basically what it, or lunar calendar, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be in the evening, okay. In the evening and morning, and there's a day. We have an evening and we have a morning, and then we have another evening and we have another day. Okay. There are groups of people, religious people, foolishly, they want to observe the Sabbath still. To observe the Sabbath today would do violence to the person of Jesus Christ. Why do I say that? Because Jesus is our Sabbath. You got another A+. Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. Now, there's nothing wrong with resting, is there?
No.
You don't rest, you are a nervous wreck. You're shocked. You're an oil field worker. Again, because I know all about that because I did that. So did Brother Stephen there. Your whole digestive system and everything else is all messed up when you don't follow the life orders that God, the way God created us. The worst illnesses and sicknesses and health that I had is when I was working in refineries and in oil fields working all night long. It just messes you up. You mess up your days and nights. You just don't. And, of course, all of the thugs are running at night, aren't they? Isn't that when the thugs are out? After dark? In the cover of darkness are out fooling around. 124 now. 124. So the day begins when? In the evening. At rest.
6 p.m.
6 p.m., basically. All right. Wyomer. Elohim. Totsi. Haaretz. Nefesh. Chaya. Limina. Behema. Why Remes. We Chato. Eretz. Limina. Why he came. And he said, Elohim. And he said, Elohim. By the way, in the whole first whole chapter of the book of Genesis, we have the name for the triune God is Elohim, don't we? And then in the second chapter, we have the name Jehovah Elohim. Because now he has created man. The name Jehovah means he who shall become, which is the Savior. The Savior. God takes a fallen universe and restores it so that he can redeem it. How is he going to redeem it? By becoming related to it. Okay? By becoming related to it. And how does he become related to it? Through the woman. Through the seed of the woman. Okay? And he said, Elohim, to cause to go forth, third person feminine singular, to cause her to go forth, Hifel, Joseph. What does Joseph mean? Who knows what Joseph means? Pamela. Joseph.
Voluntary.
This is it's voluntary. Of itself. God caused platforms to sprout from the earth that were already there. I'm sure he prohibited some, but he caused the earth, the life forms that were there to sprout. The seeds were there, all of this. We know that, okay? You can go back and study prehistoric fossils. Prehistoric, what does that mean? Prehistoric.
Before it was written down.
Yeah. Prehistoric, before it was written down. But we know that some of it was written down, too, don't we? That's prehistoric, means before the history of man. Before his story. Historic means before his story. Before that we know man lived. Prehistoric. Remember, before his story. How many of you knew that? Before his story. Did anybody know that? Prehistoric. Before his story. Okay? Let's say that together. Prehistoric. Before his story. Whose story? Man's story, Genesis 1:26. So I'm throwing all this at you now because we're getting there. We're going to get there in just a few moments. Elohim to cause to go forth the earth, ha-aretz. Ha there is what? Ha. Brother Mike, ha. 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 Brother Abe, ha.
Ha.
Ha. What is it? Ha. That's the definite article. That's the definite article. Ha'aretz, the earth. It says the earth, not Mars, not Jupiter, not Pluto, but the earth. All right? Calls her to go forth, the earth. Why you mess? And creepers and crawlers. Okay? Creepers and crawlers. Page 943. Where is that book?
Brown, Driver, and Bruce. Ivan bought Gesenius today.
And you look at some of these. 946. Let's look at this just real. 943, that is. Yes.
How did the Jewish people miss Elohim as the triune God?
As a triune God, they do not believe in a triune God.
I understand that. How do they miss that plurality right there?
Just same thing as Islam does. Same way. They don't believe in the Redeemer that we have. They do believe a Redeemer is coming, but
I mean, it's in the Word. How do they miss the Word of it?
Just like they translated it here. Okay. By interpretation, not...
They want to interpret it.
They interpret it. They don't translate it. How could you read Isaiah 53 and not know that the Messiah was going to be destroyed by these evil people? How could you receive Psalm 22, which he quoted on the cross of Calvary? Elo, elo, lama sabachthani. Eli, eli, lama sabachthani. Two times, Aramaic and Hebrew. Okay? Just make sure everybody knew it, see? It's quoted two ways. It says here on page 942, to creep, to move lightly, move about. Creepy things, rare, it says. This word comes. It comes from Arabic. Okay? All which the ground creeps, all creeping things. Animals that creep, that glide about. Land animals, water animals that glide and creep. Okay? So that's what we got here. Creeping things, moving things, gliding things. All right, that's all here in Brown, Driver, and Brick. So that's what these creepers are. And beast, wichato. living animals, living life forms. That's what that means. It comes from chaya. Chaya means what, Brother Roger?
Life.
Chaya tol. Life belonging to living animals. Life belonging to living animals. The end of that is what? In the genitive case, in the possessive case. Life belonging to life forms. Okay? Eretz, earth. Limina, to her species. Everything will go according to her species. In other words, we're not going to have evolution. This is contrary to evolution. You're evolutionists, guys living out there. Things don't evolve. They go according to their species. You can mutate forms of what we call appearance within a species. If you cross species, what happens? Like a donkey and a horse, like a jackass and a horse.
They don't reproduce.
You've got Chihuahuas, and you've got Great Danes and Mastiffs. All Shugamiata Tonka. All dogs, Shuka. Okay? I got one into the Indian language there for a moment on you. All Shukas, all dogs, true dogs. They're all dogs, but they're mutated by. They're selected to look like this. Okay? But you can't change the species. You cannot create new species. You've got chickens. All chickens come from the jungle fowl. But you got white leghorns, you got Rhode Island Reds, Plymouth Rocks, Buff Orpingtons, Gobbs and Gobbs Moor, Banties. You got big chickens, you got little bitty chickens. All because they were selective breeding, but they're not mutated life forms, they're not crossing into something else, they're there. A duck's a duck, a chicken's a chicken, a goose is a goose. These are all womblies. These are all life forms that flap their wings. Some fly in the air more, some don't. They have bred the ability to fly out of some ducks and geese. In the natural, the wild ones fly and they take care of themselves. You know the turkeys that they have bred today? That they have mutated turkeys that have these big breasts that they have to artificially inseminate them? They can't even breed? They can't breed. Your dairy cattle out here. Very few dairies. Some of the old dairies do, but very few dairies allow their cattle to breed. They don't allow their cattle to raise their children. They don't. I mean, they changed life forms for profit. We do all these things for profit. The Bible forbids us to neuter any animals. Does it or does it not? Yes, in the law it forbids us to neuter animals. Yet we do that. The Bible forbid those that were raising cattle to neuter the bulls. Because bulls can get very violent, can't they? They can get very violent. Donkeys can get violent when they're not neutered, the males. They get pretty aggressive. But they weren't supposed to do that. Don't do that. Because they have to have the right to... They have to have the right to procreate. Okay? To her species. And he became Cain thus. Straight up true honest. This goes a lot of contrary to what we believe, doesn't it? I mean, there's a lot of stuff here that's just totally unbelievable because we don't know what the Word of God says.
Can you quickly tell me why they can't allow...
Because they simply had a right to procreate. If you had one that was very violent, you were supposed to kill it.
That was it.
Okay. You were supposed to train them from young. You're supposed to train them. I have chickens out there. Every chicken that I raise is very, Marilyn, they just love me, don't they? The chickens. I can go out there and whistle for the chickens. They come running. They'll come up there wanting me to pet them and all this kind of stuff. But when somebody else raises a chicken, what are they like, Marilyn? Mean. They'll hurt you. They'll hurt you. They get real violent sometimes. but because they haven't been loved and raised and trained. Things, we have ability to train and communicate with animals. I'm not being a super animal lover here. You know, this. I want you to understand how God created things. Animals were created as what? We're going to find. Companions. Not food. Companions. After the fall and after more and more evil, then they became food. And then they had the fear of us in them. Okay? Let's go on. Wayaas. Elohim. Et. Chayath. Haaretz. Lemana. We et. Ha bihima. Lemana. We et. Kal. Rames. Ha adama. Lemanehu. Wayara. Elohim. Ketov. And he made and kept on making Elohim. Living things. Living things. Chayath. Living things. Living life forms. Think about a lobster. What is a lobster?
Scavenger.
It's an underwater spider or cockroach, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. It's an underwater vulture, whatever you want to call it. That's what it is. Now, according to the law, Moses is supposed to eat them?
No. Nope.
And according to human history, how long do lobsters live?
Long time.
They found lobsters that have lived 300 years. The word lobster in some language used to mean eternal, because they thought they lived forever. And nobody wanted to eat lobsters. They were a big bug, you know. Now it's a delicacy. But you know what we find out today about lobsters that are 200 and 300 years old? And great tuna fish and things like that? Sharks? Guess what? All of the mercury and arsenic and poisons, they will store in their bodies for many, many years. If you want to have arsenic and mercury poisoning, eat an old lobster. Or a big tuna fish. Or a shark. Or something like that. They've been around for a long time and their bodies just accumulate all of these poisons that man has. Arsenic and mercury were in different things, but we have to take them out and use them and do things with them.
So it's possible that
and concentrate them like radium. Like radium. Radium, you know, is okay, but we make radioactive material to run generators and all this kind of stuff. And when it is concentrated like that, what happens? It becomes very dangerous. It's one of those danger things. Danger things. Living things, beasts, animals, ha'aretz. Ha means what? The definite article. All right. How many ha's are there? How many definite articles are there in Hebrew?
Uno.
Uno. One. How many definite articles are there in Greek?
Multiple.
Multiple. Gobs. Masculine, singular, and neuter. I mean, masculine, feminine, and neuter in the eight cases and all three declensions. Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, invocative. Singular and plural in three declensions. That's complicated. Hebrew, it's easy. One ha, one definite article, okay. After her specie, le. Le there is a preposition, page 515. And after her specie, her kind, page 568. Page 568. I'm going to read you a little bit about that. 568. I ought to be getting faster at this. I've been about wore this book out. After her specie, her kind. All right. Mayan. Mayan. That's the root. Kind specie. A schematic. A schematic. After her schematic. All right. After her schematic. It comes from Aramaic. It means nation. It means life form, kind, species. Plant has a specie. Animals, beasts, birds, fishes, insects have specie. They have a familyness. It means likeness. They're alike. likeness, representation of likeness. Is this, you enjoying this? After her species. And he kept on seeing. Third person, masculine, singular. Wow, consecutive, and perfect. Now, we have the word Elohim there. Elohim did this. What should this be translated? The Septuagint is wrong, by the way. Let me read it to you out of the Septuagint. 1 and verse 25 in the Septuagint. 1 to 25. Kai epoiesin ho theos ta theria. The word theria there, it says wild beast. That means fast running thing. This is like the Antichrist. He's talked as a beast. A killing machine, running, fast running killing machine. Theria of the earth, according to the genos. Genos, now that's good, genos. According to their genetic structure. We get a word genes out of that. According to the genetic structure. And the cattle according to its genos of him, of them. According to the reptiles of the earth. Okay. And saw God. It says ho theos here. Now, ho theos. Ho theos. It should be ho theoi, shouldn't it? Why? Why is it theoi?
Well, that's nominative singular masculine, right?
Yeah. Nominative singular masculine is theos, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So here we have a plural word. So how can we translate it theos? But they did. All right. Because their idea was what? One God, one person, not triune, but just one, okay? But here we're talking about the triune creator, this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God's going to make man in his image in the very next word. And it says, all that good, kalo, it should be translated agathos here. Agathos instead of kalos. Kalos just means good. But Algos means spiritually good. Now, this is a reconstructed world that God's taken. Now, right here, there's no disease. There aren't any diseases on the earth yet. Who allowed the disease to come? Adam. Adam, because of his disobedience, when he ate and kept on eating of the life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he ate it up. He ate it all. That's what caused it. 126 now. It's Tov now. Let's say Tov. And Agathos should be the one because that's spiritually good. The equivalent there should be Agathos, but in the Greek Septuagint, it's Kalos.
Can you spell that real quick for me, please?
What's that?
Agathos.
Agathos. Agathos. That's Agathos right there.
Can you spell that in English?
Agathos. Well, I don't... Well, Agathos. Well, I don't even think in English. How am I going to spell it in English? I never think of it in English. Agathos. Agathos. Okay, Agathos.
Thank you.
Okay, but it's Kalos here. They put Kalos down there. Kalos. There is a difference. Look it up in the advanced Greek lexicons. Okay? Kalos is just good. Agathos is spiritually good.
Is real that good. Greek there?
That's Greek, yes.
Oh, that's Greek. What's the other one?
Greek.
They're both Greek.
Both Greek.
But it should be that.
Okay, Tov. You have Tov down there. The last word in that is Tov. All right? Tov.
So I've got it right here.
All right, that's Tov right there. All right, Tov. Tov. There you have Tov in Hebrew. The equivalent to Tov is Agathos. Should be here, if you interpret it correctly. It should not be Theos, but it should be Theoi, because we're talking about the triune God. When you talk about one person of the Godhead, it's Theos. Okay? The one person of the Godhead. 126 now. Now we're over here. We're in some really fantastic territory right now. Wyomer. Elohim. Naaseh. Adam. Betzamenu. Kedmatu. Kedmatenu, that is. Why year do? Vid got. That's a TH on the end. Hayam. Uvof. Hashamayim. Uva bihima. Uvikal. Haaretz. Uvikal. Ha remes. All haaretz. Wayomer. And he said, and he kept on saying, Elohim. Elohim, that's a plural word. Now, your Islamic people will say this is not a plural word. That the word im on the end means it's great big, that it's mighty, it's big, it's fantastic. Okay? But it's a plural word. How do we know it's a plural word here? How do we know it's not mighty and big and great? Brother Roger, answer that question for me.
I know the answer.
You know the answer.
Because of the Yud and the Mem Sofit.
Okay. Now look at the next word. Look at the next word. We'll tell you that answer. Oh. You'll have the answer. What does it say there?
Okay. And so that's...
First person construct plural. Yeah.
First person plural.
First person plural. First person plural is what?
We.
It's not I shall make. Is it I shall make or is it we shall make? Who is Elohim? He's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's the triune God. There aren't three gods. But grammatically it has to be plural. And grammatically we have to have a plural verb. Don't we?
Yes. Can.
All right. You got it?
I got it.
Is Islam right? Is Muhammad right?
No.
That's not what it's talking about here. Not only that, but we're going to look at it. I was going to bring the Quran tonight, and I forgot to bring the Quran. I had it written all down. I had my sermon all written down that I was going to preach tonight. All my little notes, they're there. Kind of like the old preacher that was in the country church, and he was there visiting from another church. He was sitting back there, and there's a knot hole in the back of the wall like that. And he kept slipping his sermon in and out of that knot hole, all of the song service and everything else. And all of a sudden, he bumped, and down his sermon went in the knot hole, and it was gone forever. And he got up, and he said, well, my sermon went down the knot hole. So you get this. All right. So this is what you got. And we shall make for our own volition and our own personal selves of our own volition. First person construct plural, cohortive. A cow stem cohortive in meaning. Cohortive mean in meaning means what, Brother Roger?
Volitative.
The volitative quality of the verb.
Yeah.
In other words, he did it because he wanted to. Why did God create everything? Because he wanted to. And that's what we call his sovereignty. His sovereignty, he created things because he wanted to create them. Were you there to bother him? What did the Lord God of heaven tell Job? Were you there when I created the heaven and the earth? Where were you? Did I take your advice when I did this and when I did that? When I made the earth round and put it out there and it was held out there in space by gravity alone? Where were you when I put the clouds in the skies and the fish in the sea? Where were you, Job? Only in the mind of God. And we shall make for of our own volition and our own sovereign will. All of that is in that word right there. Adam. Adam. Now here it would be anthropone. Anthropone, we got a word anthropology. And what is anthropology, young lady? The study of mankind. Anthropology. That comes from anthropos and logos, the study of man. That is an anthropological word. Okay, it means that we study man, Logos study, Anthropos, mankind. We have the human race here. Now we have human. Yes.
Why wouldn't it be Ish if Ish?
Adam, Ish is man.
I know.
Ish is only part of the human race. This is the whole human race.
Well, Adam
is the whole human race. Ish is only the male part of the human race. Isha means out of man, and that's the feminine entity in the human race. We have man and we have woman. All right. Now here is the word right here. Betzamenehu. In our spiritual likeness, in our image likeness, in our shadow casting likeness. Shadow casting. And what is a shadow? People in old times used to call it the spirit that was following you. So what is God saying here? And these people believe that, didn't they? The spirit that's following you. So what part of man was created in his Batsamenu? What part of him? Here we have spirit, the spirit of man. God created man in his spiritual image. This spiritual image right here. Shadow casting image and likeness. And then it says, Kidmetenu. Now, in this word is blood in the middle of it. See that word dom there in the middle of that? Not just what is that, brother? What does that word mean? Blood.
Blood or red.
Blood or red. In our blood flowing likeness. So what part of God, what part of man is this? His physical being. God has created first his spirit being. His spirit being. Now, by the way, when man falls, God's going to have to triunely redeem him. He's going to have to redeem his spirit. He's going to have to redeem his soul. And he's going to have to redeem his body. Because man, without spirit, soul, and body, he is not a complete entity, is he? Let's go on. This is the pattern. According to his pattern. This blood flowing likeness, according to his blood flowing likeness. Ki, there on the front of that, that's kidmatenu. Here we have the word dom in there and the word ki on the front of it. And the word ki on the front of it, what is that, brother? That's according to. Ki, or because of.
Oh, okay.
But according to or because of. All right. According to or because of. His blood flowing absolute likeness. Colossians 1:15 is across in the New Testament. John 1:14. Kaihologos sarx agenito, and the Word, the Jehovah, flesh he became and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory, it says in John 1:18, of the only begotten God. God became flesh, and he became flesh through the person of Mary. The promise of the Redeemer, child that would redeem the world, all the cosmos, John 1, 3:16. For God so loved the what? The cosmos that he was going to redeem it. Again, God takes a fallen universe and restores it so that he can redeem it by becoming related to it. Just think about that for a while. Why does he give Satan so much leeway? Because he's going to whip Satan in all three realms. The spiritual realm, the mental realm, and the physical realm, and the material realm. And he's going to do it by through the person of Adam. That's why he's creating Adam. Creating Adam for his own volition, sovereignty, will. Why? To redeem the universe back through him. He will use him. But he has to give him volition. And every man in the human race, every woman in the human race has got to have volition, doesn't it? Because we're going to find out the next word is going to make him in his sovereign likeness. Man is created in his spiritual likeness. He's created in his blood flowing likeness. Now look at this one. We yirdu. We yirdu. And they shall have rule. Third person, masculine, plural. Jusiv. Cal juicy. Juicy means what, Brother Roger?
That you have a choice.
You have choice. He created man with will, according to the Hebrew text. Now, if you get into superlapsarianism and all this kind of stuff, and five-point Calvinism, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and total hereditary depravity, and all that, you'll find out that some of them do not believe in volition. God created man with volition. The whole human race has volition, not just Adam. Some of the superlapsarians will say, well, Adam had volition. He fell. He had to have volition, didn't he? But the rest of us were either chosen or discarded, one or the other. Chosen or discarded. Created chosen, created discarded. Created chosen, elect, and created reprobate. Now what it says here. If you want to believe certain things, you better leave the Greek and Hebrew alone. Because when you get to the Greek and Hebrew, you're going to get a real spanking up straight. It's going to have to, either you're going to run from the language or you're going to correspond to the language. If you believe correctly, you will correspond to the language. If you know it, you'll just say, well, I don't believe that. That's not what it says. Doesn't say that. Who needs the Bible? Who needs Greek and Hebrew anyway? We have the English Bible, and they were real good scholars. Now, in the times past, when I was a little boy, they still did this. And a long time ago, maybe you remember this, Mike, you're old enough, maybe. Back before they had Gerber's. You know what Gerber's is? Gerber's baby food. They used to take the food and they chewed it up for the little kid and they spit it out and put it in the kid's mouth.
Right.
Somebody's chewing your food for you. That's what you do when you take these translations. Somebody's already chewed your food for you. I'll guarantee you one thing, you start playing with languages and it's going to make you straighten up. Sometimes it's more you can chew, swallow, and digest. There, Stephen.
Can you spell the word juicy?
What?
Juicy.
Spell it. It's right down there. It should be. J-U-S-S-I-V-E. J-U-S-S-I-V-E. Juicy.
And that means
a third person masculine plural cow juicy. That means for volition. He created man sovereign. He created man in his sovereign dominion will. Man was to have sovereignty over all of the creation. Sovereignty. He will have sovereignty over all for himself. This is a Joseph. And also the other word for it is cohorte, but here is where you have Joseph. Joseph, direct middle. He will have a voluntary quality to all mankind. This covers the whole human race here, doesn't it? Does it or does it not? We're talking about anthropos here.
Yes.
We're talking about Adam. Adam is not Ish and it's not Isha. It's the whole human race. Okay? And in Adam, when God created Adam, the whole human race was in him. And we're going to see that in just a few minutes. He will have sovereign will over in the fish, Vidgot. Vidgot. See that word dog there in the middle of it? That's the word fish, dog. The baith on the front of it, that's a preposition on page 88 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. You'll see that.
You ought to try ordering dog at a sushi bar.
Oh. They might get confused, huh?
Yeah.
All right. And that hayam, hayam. The sea, the waters, all those drops of waters out there. That's plural too, isn't it? All them waters. Uvioth, and the birds, the wing flappers, all right? The wing flappers, the birds and the wing flappers. Hashamayim, Hashamayim. Say that, Hashamayim. Over the heavens, the birds of the heavens, and that would be Aranon in literally. Let's see what the Septuagint, let's see how far off the beam they are. We know how to do this, don't we? Don't we know a little Greek? Yeah, a little Greek. We know a little Hebrew. Now let's put it together. 126. Kai epein ho poiesamen. He's got that right. Let us make man, anthropon, akata, akona, hemeteron, according to our own will. Now, I shouldn't do that. It should have been according to our skia, to begin with. Skia should have been the word, that shadow. Okay? And then according to our icon, image, is the next word it should have been. In our homeosyn and our likeness, and let them control, let them have arche, let them have sovereignty upon the fishes of the sea, the thalasses, and the patenon, the winged flappers of the heavens, Uranu. Now, that's Uranu. Now, it should be Aranois. Tois Aranois. Artun Aranun. Plural. It's heavens. It's plural, isn't it? It's not singular. Now, it's actually talking about one singular heaven. Where is this singular heaven? This is what we call the atmosphere. But that's not what the Hebrew says, the heavens. But we know what it's talking about. It's talking about the atmosphere. And the Katinon and the cattle and all of the earth and all of the reptiles, herpetones, herpetology, the study of reptiles, of the herpetone upon the earth, epitasges. All right, so we're playing with this in several languages, aren't we? What's the word for bird in Lakota? Wombly, thank you, Marilyn. You've been listening just a little bit. Wombly. Wing flappers. It's the same word here. All right. Of the heavens, now let's go on over to B, 126B. Yuvah-bah-hima. And in domesticated livestock, the four-legged ones. In the domesticated livestock. In here we have the behemoths, the large quadrupeds. Okay? What is this? What is a large quadruped? It's a camel. The cow. A horse.
Wildebeest.
Yeah, all of these. You call and in all. You, there on the front of that, that's a wow, and that is what? That's a conjunction. That's and. And then be. Be is a preposition, page 88. That's in. And then call, that's a substantive, which we call an adjective in English, it is on page 481, and that means all of them. And all of the earth, you call, and in all of the Hadramas, these are the creepers, the creeps. Wouldn't be nice if you had dominion over the creeks, the creeps in the alleys, wouldn't it? All the creeps and the creepers, Hadramas. And the ones creeping, crawling, El Ha'aretz, upon the earth. This verse proves the triune God. Does it not? Let's go back and look at it one more time. And he said and kept on saying, Elohim, we shall, for our own volition, first person construct, plural, God is plural. This is what we call the triune God here. This is the whole creator. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we shall create for ourselves Adam. Adam. Betzamenu. Betzamenu means what? The Greek word would be skia, which means shadow. And skia is what? That's his spiritual likeness. They always said your spirit follows you. That's your saddle, your spirit. The time when the spirit follows you. Before sun, before noon and afternoon, the time when your spirit follows you, that's what it used to be called. Before and after, when you throw a long shadow, you know, when you throw a long shadow. That's in his shadow image, which is his spiritual image. So God made man in his spiritual image. That's according to the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now we have the word kidmatenu. The root of that is what?
Dom,
which means what? Blood. According to our key on the front of that, according to our blood flowing likeness. So we have spiritual, now we have physical, and now we're going to have sovereign divinity, which is soul. We have spirit, we have body, and we have soul. And God's going to have to redeem man triunely, spirit, body, and soul. Your soul never dies. Can your soul be sick? Yeah. Can your spirit be sick and evil? Yes. How about your body?
Yep.
Oh, boy. So the fallen creation has affected man mentally, soul, spirit, and body. And because of that, we all die. Now, the Bible says that God created man in his image. The Quran says that God created man from a clot of blood. A clot of blood. That's not quite right, is it? Why? How did God have to... Well, God put blood in man.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
The Quran says it created from
a clot of blood.
Where did blood come from?
Yeah. He created him from a clot of blood. Why did God create him as he created the dust of the earth? From the same elements as the dust of the earth. Why did he create him as the same elements of the dust of the earth? Why did he create him for that?
He was going to go back to that.
He was going to become that. He said that dying you are, dying you shall become. Dust you are, and dust you shall become. Dying you are, and dying you shall become. But the dust is part of the universe. The dust is the part of the universe. The dust is that which God spoke into existence. And man came from the same spiritual, material elements as the earth and the heavens did. So man could be part and related to that physical universe. Now man's related to the physical universe in God and his blood flowing likeness. Material. The first Adam was one in the garden. The second Adam was who? The life-giving spirit. Life-giving spirit. 126. 127. How much time we got on there? 61 minutes. We're just going to go one more verse tonight now. Okay. Well, I got a few more minutes on this here recording now. Vayivra. Elohim. Et ha-adam. Bitazmo. Bitazalmo. All right. Betzalem. Elohim. Bara. Oto. Zakar. Unikeva. Bara. Otam. Why Yivra? He saw. Third person, master, senior, cowwow, consecutive, and perfect. He saw and kept on seeing Elohim. Now, why do we use the word Elohim and why do we say he saw here? Why is this a singular word? Because we're looking at Elohim as a unit now, not as plural. Before, we saw the Creator. Now God creates man. Now we see him as basically the Redeemer Creator related to. So now we're going to go into the singular. Now, in all reality, because you're a triune, you could say, we are going to do this and we are going to do that when you're just talking about yourself. But really, you're a unit. Sign of the direct object, Ha-Adam. And he saw in Elohim the man, the humanity, the human race, the anthropos. Betzalmato. In his spiritual shadow casting image, his skia. That's what it should have been translated, skia. That man was in his spiritual image, his skia, his shadow image. And then Betzalem, in his shadow spirit image, his direct image, Elohim, Bara, he had created, third person masculine and singular, Cal perfect, he had created him, male and female. Zakar, that means male, and unique, Kavah, that's female. Bara, he had created them. Now, so in the body of Adam was woman and man. In the body of Adam was a whole human race. Now, in the second chapter, it's going to tell us a little bit more about this, okay? 128. Why Varek? Otam, Elohim, Wayomer, Lahem, Elohim, Peru, Yurivu, Yumelu, Et Haaretz, We Chiv Shua, Yuridu, Bidgoth, Hayam, Yuviof, Hashemayim, Yuvikal, Chaya, Haro, Meseth, all Haaretz. And he intensely blessed. Third person masculine senior, PL, while consecutive imperfect. He intensely blessed Otam them, Elohim. Now here it should be how? Theos. 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 This is Elohim again. And he said to them, Elohim, masculine plural, cal imperative. Be fruitful. Peri, that means fruit. Peri. Paru, be fruitful. Multiply. Masculine plural imperative. Cal imperative. Multiply. Fill up is the next word. And ye fill up. Masculine plural, cal imperative. Et, the earth. Fill up the earth. Multiply and fill up the earth. Now man has done that a few times, hasn't he? Boy, there'd be a lot of people on earth if all of them were still here. And let him conquer her. Let him lord over her. This word here is Y-Chishua. Third person, masculine, plural, singular. Or masculine, singular, imperative. Let him conquer her. Let him conquer her. Third person, feminine, singular, on the ending. And let them have lord over or sovereignty over in the fish, among the fish. Man was supposed to be the ruler or the sovereignty over the fish. Man, God created man and he had put him in a garden, hadn't he? He created man, he put him in a garden, which is the throne room of the whole universe. Again, Adam is now in the same type throne room as Lucifer was in, Hillel was in. Okay? Over the sea and among the birds of the heavens and over all or in all of the creeping crawlers, the living beings, Chaya, the living ones, living things, and the ones creepers, all right, the ones living and the ones creepers upon the earth. So now man is born the same way the earth was, born of earth. Now he must be born from above. Because we're all related to Adam. We're all related to Adam. We're all locked in sin, aren't we? We're locked in it. We're born sinners. But God wants to redeem us. Skia, his shadow casting image, his blood flowing likeness, and his sovereign image. If you allow the Spirit of God to convict you of your sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, your soul can be saved. And God will send a brand new spirit in you to control your life. That will be there. That's the convicting force of God in everything you do. Amen. If you're saved, you go out there. If you want to go do something wrong, guess what? Don't do it, brother. Don't do it. Now, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. You didn't have that before. You said, ha, ah, boy, I'm going to slip out in somebody's alley. I'll do what I want to. I'm going to do anything I want to. Nobody's going to stop me. I'll go rob a bank. I'll have money. And if they catch me, they'll throw me in prison, and they better take care of me and take care of all my medical needs and fix my teeth and all this kind of stuff. I better have good treatment, or I'll protest and bang on the bars till somebody comes. I'll scream and holler and squall. Yeah. That's Adam, isn't it? That's the old Adamic nature. God wants to redeem you, spirit. And that spirit that he puts in you when you're born again is the spirit that marks you for the resurrection. Because until you're redeemed, body, mind, and soul, or spirit, you're not redeemed. We only have the promise of redemption right now. We have the down payment of Spirit God in us, which He has to redeem. Okay? But we look forward, and through humankind, God is going to redeem the earth. He's going to redeem the earth through humankind. Amen. Through the Messiah, the King of Israel. We talked about Him this morning in the Gospel according to John, Kali Mani. All from eternity to eternity is God suffering over and mourning over His creation. Elohim, Ruah Elohim, mourned over, suffered over, wept over His creation. Every person that is convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, may they be sad, but God is sad. He's trying to redeem you. He's trying to bring you into His way. He gives you a sovereign will because man is created in God's sovereign will. We know that now. That's what it says in the Hebrew Bible. We can go off on our little tangents if we want to, but we're going the wrong way because man is sovereign. He's created with volition. It says that. He has a volitative force in Him, but that volitative force is the most dangerous gift God ever gave you because it can get you in hell. You can choose God's way, and He can triunally redeem you, or He can triunally damn you. Because He will resurrect those here in this great white throne judgment and resurrection here. He will resurrect all the lost in their unglorified bodies and throw them in an unglorified place, which is hell, forever. And they won't go out of existence. Hell doesn't evaporate. It's not annihilation. It is eternity and suffering. Make your choice in this life only. You don't have another chance. This is it. Right now. You make your choice in this life, not some other time. We started with 123. 123 through 128. All right, do you have a question about this? Yes, brother.
Philippians. Second chapter.
Is that in Hebrew?
No.
Philippians 2, huh?
I want to know in Greek.
Okay, Philippians 2. Is that in the New Testament?
In mine it is.
Is it right there by Colossians?
That's what mine is.
All right. So I got Colossians. I found Colossians, so I must be close to Philippians. Philippians what?
Second chapter. Sixth verse.
What?
Number six.
Six. All right. Let's go to that. Hos en morphe theo hiparkon uk hipagmon higasato to ena hisa theo. Who in the morphe, the form of God existing, not robbery, he considered it, kept on considering it to be, that's the infinitive, to be equal to God. Was Jesus equal to God? Yes. Sure, He's God. Kaihologo sarx agenito.
So, yesterday I was listening to a guy say morphe should be translated as essence.
No.
But my Bible says form.
It's form, morphe. We get the word form.
Okay, but not essence.
Form.
Okay.
Form.
Okay, that's mine.
Yeah, form. But we just saw that in Genesis 1:26, didn't we? Mm-hmm. This would be the blood flowing likeness. This was the blood-flowing likeness that Jesus was existing on earth that walked in the garden with Adam that created Him. God created Adam, Genesis 1:26, in His blood-flowing likeness. And we have likeness, His morphe, His form. God, we were created in the form of God. If you want to describe the Trinity, go to Genesis 1:26. Don't go anyplace else. That's why it's getting given to us in the Bible. Right here is real good. Yeah, you just go back to Genesis 1:26. That's what it's talking about. He created Him in His skia, his shadow casting likeness. He created in him his blood flowing likeness. And he created in him sovereign likeness. Man was created spirit, body, and soul. Was he not? Spirit, body, and soul. That's what it says. Spirit, body, soul. Soul is your memory. Soul is your decision. You can damn your soul with that volition. Or you can get your soul saved. Not you, but the Lord save you. All salvation is by grace only. Nothing else. Period. By grace. All right? Did that answer your question? Ikona. All right, Martha, yes.
Okay. God created Adam, which was the first prototype of humanity.
It is humanity, yes.
And then here he's blessing them and telling them to multiply and fold the earth, but they aren't separated
No.
yet.
Then God tells us how he told them to multiply. Now, right here already, they're apart. They're already man and woman now, okay? They're man and woman. He created man. And then in Genesis 2, we're going to go to Genesis 2nd chapter, and it's going to tell us how God did Genesis 1.
Okay.
Genesis 2 is an explanation of Genesis 1. That's all it is, an explanation, detailed explanation. And we're going to go see the details of Genesis 1.
Okay.
All right? Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, did you enjoy your class? Did you learn something tonight? Did you learn how to explain the Trinity today? Right here? From the Hebrew Bible? Does somebody listen? If they listen, they have a volition. They're cohortive and they're juicy, aren't they? They have it. They have a sovereignty over their souls. A sovereignty. They are sovereign. That's a dangerous gift, sovereignty. All right. Are you done? Let's go out and do something eternal. Go out there in the rain and act like a duck. Flap your wings and waddle around.
I'll be a duck long. You don't call me no chicken.
All right. Let's have a prayer and let's go out there and do something eternal. All right. Brother Mike, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Father, we just soak in your love and thank you for the teachings that you have provided us, so that we can understand what your love is. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you for writing down the words so that we can understand who you are and what you want us to do and how you want us to do those things that are your will. And again, we thank you for this place that we can meet each week. And we thank you for the teachers that are provided to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
On the back side of the paper, we printed some stuff. What is
that? You know that song?